Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
True Crimers, welcome to Break the Case. I'm your host. Oh, I got a tickle in my throat. I'm Jen Coffendaffer. Thank you for joining this morning. I apologize for the hour. I had to put it off. I had a News Nation hit this morning regarding a case that we're tracking really closely, and that's the case about the double murder of the two students, the PhD students at the University of South Florida. I'm going to do a separate show on them, but I've decided that it kind of becomes convoluted, I think, when some people are very much interested in Nancy, other people might just be interested in University of Florida shooting, or I covered extensively the shooting that took place at the Washington White House correspondence dinner. Some people are interested, some people aren't, but this channel is going to stay dedicated to the Nancy Guthrie investigation. Again, Nancy Guthrie, 84, went missing on February 1st from her home of about 50 years, located in the Catalina foothills outside of Tucson, Arizona, in the desert there. It was a neighborhood that had light pollution controls. I've talked about that. If any of you have ever been in a house like that or in an environment like that, there's just no street lights. You're not supposed to turn on any floodlights or any other lights except for, you know, special occasions, a party or something like that. But basically, it's kept dark. If you've ever been in that environment or traveling, you know, in Montana or in Alaska, places where farms, other places, rural places, for those of you who have done that, it's amazing because the sky is blanketed like a Dances with Wolves scene. And by the way, the movie Dances with Wolves, I'm going to digress a little bit. One of my favorite movies when I was in labor for about 30 hours with my first child, which was excruciating. I watched that show over and over, that and Forrest Gump. You know, they were newly out. I just kept watching them over and over because they were long, long movies, thinking sooner or later I was going to have that baby. But the reason I bring that up is because one of my favorite characters from Dances with Wolves was Smile a Lot. I know that movie inside and out. Some of you may not. I even use it when I teach self-defense. There's a clip where she's in her teepee, the main female character. She's in her teepee and I think it was a crow. I'm not sure what the tribe was, but whatever the other tribe was, they were Sioux, and their rival tribe member came in to kill the children, and she was supposed to protect them. And right when he opens the door, or the door to the teepee, she blows him away with a shotgun blast. And I use that to teach how important it is that if you have a home predator in your home, it's important that you always designate a set area where everybody will go to. We have one designated in our house, and that you bring that gun and you hunker down there, obviously with your cell phone and your gun. And then if they want to come in and try to get you, you will always, always, always win that battle. So anyway, but Smiles a Lot, he was one of my favorite characters, has just been, he was convicted and he was just sentenced. He's basically looking at 37 years to life, but it's going to be life for his molestation. And thank you so much. Good morning, Sandusky, Ohio. And thank you, Tucson. I appreciate both of you. They are, essentially, he was convicted of multiple, he basically had this routine set up where he was some sort of medicine man, and he started this following, this cult following, where he had Native American little girls he was preying on. Lord knows how many victims he had, but he did terrible things. Like, if you don't give your virginity to me, to these young little girls, your mom's going to die of cancer, and just horrible things to manipulate these girls. Nevertheless, he was smiles a lot, was convicted and recently sentenced just a couple of days ago. I posted that on Twitter. But again, I'm totally digressing from what is at hand. I was talking about that beautiful sky. I know some of you are like, keep digressing, Jen. We like it when you digress. And other people are like, don't digress anymore. So I think I'm going to go with what naturally flows. Everything I say has something going back to the case that we're looking at. So in this case, I wanted to talk to you about something that is really occurring to me. I just posted it on Twitter right before I came on. I wrote it last night, rewrote it a little bit this morning. But has anybody thought about the fact that these perpetrators stalked Nancy? We know that by the 11th, that was mentioned again, and then also the night before, right? Stalked Nancy, went into her house, an 84-year-old, abducted her. Then after abducting her, likely she didn't make it. I believe she's deceased. Well knowing, in my opinion, that when they went in there to take her, she would never make it through the process. So they commit literally a crime. So I was thinking about this. What could you do to me? Or, you know, what could you do, not to me, but to a family? What could you do to somebody you hated, somebody you resented, somebody you wanted to make sure you exacted whatever revenge slash whatever you were going to do to just take everything away from them? Well, first of all, you would do something either to them, or if it's targeted at Savannah, at her mother, because the mother would be the easiest to get, number one. Number two, an abduction would be perfect, because what does an abduction mean? An abduction means you can now try to get at their money. They wanted $6 million according to those letters. Do I agree that those letters are bogus? The ransom was ridiculous because they didn't have proof of life? Yes, but hear me out here. You do the abduction. The person dies before you planned. Abduction gone wrong. You get rid of the body. But you're not done. This didn't play out how it was supposed to. You were supposed to not only be able to abduct, you were supposed to also be able to fleece them of $6 million of what you probably thought would be the most liquid of their assets. Savannah's worth $40 million. Cameron is worth money to a degree. So are Annie and Tommaso. I did those numbers for you, about $1 million because of their house. But there's a big difference between net worth, if you sell everything, what you're worth, and what you're worth liquid wise. Did they do those calculations? I've been doing those calculations. And I think $6 million in terms of quick liquidity, what she could cash out and easily get her money on. In other words, not real estate, nothing that would take long term, but something that she could easily cash out and get her money. Was that amount, the $6 million, did they do their homework on that? Secondarily, I think that they wanted that money. I think that was part of this plan, and it went south when they could provide no proof of life. But what did they do anyway? They sent two ransom notes. Who did they send them to? To Tucson media, hoping Tucson would go out and say something. They didn't. So they go to TMC, who of course is going to say something. And they do. This is exactly what these guys wanted. A public display of what happened, controlling the narrative, puppeteering this, because they knew 100% that Savannah and the Guthries weren't going to pay this money without proof of life, because that is what the FBI would have told them to do. Out of the FBI playbook, just like they said in Die Hard, yes, the FBI has sort of a playbook in a sense, you know, what they typically are going to recommend to people in these instances. And I talked about this before, and I could tell any other talking heads talking about this that are from the Bureau, they haven't been familiar with some of them, with what's going on across the border, and that we do recommend paying ransoms, by the way. And so anybody who says that is just not in the know. That's all I can say. There are many areas of the FBI. People come from different backgrounds. People worked different kinds of cases and are familiar with different types of scenarios, because many would have never had any kidnapping cases in their whole career. I'm telling you, there are instances for sure overseas where the recommendation from the FBI is to definitely pay, because it works there. If you pay a cartel, they're going to give you back the person. That's just facts. In this situation, though, without proof of life, the FBI is not going to recommend that. Of course they're not. And then even later, when they said, give us proof of death, they didn't recommend that either. So essentially, when you look at this case, they went to the media with those ransom notes, to me, spotlighting the Guthrie family. There were 5 videos done. And what did they point out for everyone to see? That Savannah wasn't willing to pay. That the Guthrie family was not willing to pay. Further causing excruciating finger pointing at the Guthries. And also, I might say, making people wonder, not making, but some people wondering, because of their lack of, I don't want to say effort, at lack of action, even now, pointing fingers at them because of their lack of action. Now, you might be saying, Jen, well, how is this all new? I'm just laying this groundwork, because nobody has touched on this piece, no one. And that's what I'm coming up to. You take her, you murder her, or at least responsible for her dying. You're pissed because you didn't get the money, which is part of what you wanted. So what do you do next? You publicly hurt the family, terrorize the family with these notes. If you don't pay by this date, we're doing this to her. And then the second one, if you don't pay by this date, we're killing her. Which she was already dead, I believe, and discarded and gone. So you don't have any of that proof. Then what do you do next? What do you do next? Are you doing this? This is the piece I want to bring forward, and that I tweeted about just now. Are you responsible for this? This is just literally a few. You could go on right now and find thousands of these, more than thousands, tens of thousands, tens and tens of thousands of comments like this. If you looked on YouTube, if you looked on, you know, any live chats, if you looked on even my Twitter, X, and not just mine, everybody's, if you looked on TikTok, if you look on IG, if you look on Facebook, any social media platform that has anything to do with this case, you will see these comments. Huge line of comments that it's a hoax. Huge. Let's see. Let's move on from this. The family knows what happened, and they should just tell the media. It's absolutely disgusting that she was back at Worth. Nothing's more important to her than being an anchor. It's all fake. There, and then somebody else says, there's no kidnapping. The whole family and the sheriff, they're all involved in this. It's all BS. It's all a scam. It's a psyop. Don't most people believe that Savannah and her family are behind the kidnapping? It's all suspect with her, meaning Savannah. When they need another rating boost, a Nancy will appear. This is all a fraud. I lost respect for her under the Trump interview. This is just, you know, I wouldn't be able to go back to work. She's a narcissist. She mocked God. This is just a few. It's literally just a few. My point is, are they, whoever was responsible for the abduction, for the two quote unquote ransom notes that to me were just meant to be in charge of the narrative, are they helping with this? Are they pushing that narrative? Nothing to see here. It's all a fraud. The family did it. It's all a gigantic cover up. Are they some of these people online? Now, you might say, Jen, come on, that's a little far-fetched. You know, that seems like a conspiracy to me. Well, really, it's not at all a conspiracy because they don't need anybody to do it but the person who did this. Porch guy, and then I still think one other's involved. I mean, normally, you know, it's just that type of a job. You would expect one other person. My biggest reason that I think another person is involved is I'm convinced I see a two-way radio. That's why I'm convinced I see a two-way radio. And that's why I think somebody else is involved. But I want to go over really quick what this abductor has done to date. How sophisticated it's now turning out this abductor and or abductors are. I want to go over it. Okay. One, they have sent six emails to date. Six emails to that to date. Okay. Traced back to that can't be traced back to anybody by the FBI and by the absolute best in the business, because I can promise you that's who the FBI is consulting with, trying to figure out how in the heck to trace that email back. Number two, they set up this Bitcoin account that has not been traced in terms of the originator, further that the FBI still won't plunk into. Why? You know? Because I guess they believe there it will be untraceable, even though they've done cases where they traced it. They think that these abductors are that sophisticated, so they're not even willing to bet the cum, I call it. If any of you play craps, you bet the cum, right? Not always, but I like to bet the cum personally. But basically, you're gambling on that. I still would have done it. I would have done it early. But that's the kind of case agent I was. I took risks. I thought risk could pay off. And I know how much money is in case funds and how much millions are being. It would be worth it to me to do a 37,000 tease to see what happens to that money and hope it can be traced. That's what I would have done. That's what I still would do. And any agent that disagrees with me, I welcome to come on here and let me know. I would love to host you. Because I just think it's worth it at this point. We're 3 months will be tomorrow, and we're having a very special guest tomorrow. They've kidnapped an 84-year-old woman almost 3 months ago, yet remain anonymous despite being on camera. Which, by the way, it was a small miracle, and those are those miracles that homicide detective Dale Lundberg and I talk about. Well, he posed it as a miracle, and I loved it much better than what I posed it as, because I am a staunch believer in God. And he posed it as there are these miracles that all this time goes by and then you get a miracle and your case is solved. That's where we're at right now, guys. Let me tell you, we're at that, whether it's the DNA, that's going to be a miracle that they could somehow down the road be able to divide out those three profiles. We've heard from Dr. Fitzpatrick. It can't be done now, but they're working on it. Number two, The hair, that's going to be a miracle if the hair actually belongs to any porch guy or anybody involved in this, right? That's going to be a miracle because hairs are transient. That hair could be from a dry cleaner, you know, from a Walmart employee for all we know. But let's hope. Yes, the guardian angel. I like that too. With the sheath, I said he murdered the four and then God was watching. Meaning the sheath was left. And then some people, oh, Jen, God wasn't watching that horrible thing. Listen, God can't intervene in that. He can't. He only knows what's in people's hearts. This is just my belief. I don't want to get religious here because this show is about true crime and nothing in true crime is godly. Everything we look at, everything we study, all these horrible cases, I believe they're from man and from the devil. But nevertheless, what he was able to do, getting back to that, so just to recap, 6 emails that can't be traced by the FBI's best, set up a Bitcoin account, which can't be traced by the FBI's best, kidnapped an 84-year-old woman caught on camera, can't be traced by the FBI's best, although thank goodness Google and the FBI's best were able to get together and give us that footage that we have. Do I have a picture of that footage? Thank you. Yes, I did. Put it up here. Covered up, possible hair, but to date, no match has been made, right? So he's able to get in and out of there without it leaving any DNA that was at least traceable easily. There's been no other DNA found that implicates him at all that we know about, right? So in 90 days, with the FBI's best, with the lab, with $1 million-plus budget, with the president saying they were going to get him and being behind it, nothing so far. It's been 3 months. Koberger was 5 weeks. This has been 3 months. And he was caught. He's caught right there. The clothing that porch guy wore, all this clothing, this magical backpack, the gun, the holster, the uniqueness of it all, nothing has been able to be traced. Nothing yet. These investigations do take a very, very long time. I understand that as much as anybody could understand it. And it can be frustrating because things take a long time. Things take a long time, other than the fact that nobody's coming forward saying, I know that guy, since the other two people did, right? So I'm just going over all these things to show sophistication. The person came and left in a car, but no car has been identified yet, people. No car, despite 2:30 in the morning in a desolate desert area. No cars. No cars have been identified. We haven't seen like what we saw. Let me read this real first. Karen, is Savannah going back to work smiling, being done to get back at the perps in hopes that they will make another move? You know, it's such an interesting question, Karen, and then I'll get back on this. I just always want to recognize people who are so kind to support the channel, and all of you support the channel, but I really appreciate this. So to your question, I think she cannot let them win. You cannot let them win. You know, you just can't. It's funny. And you know, I'm not political. I'm just calling for what I see it. Trump said in 60 Minutes why he wanted that show to go on. And I knew it when I was talking about it during it. He doesn't want to let them win. And I say it all the time in cases, you can't let the terrorists win. In other words, we can't sit at home when a horrible terrorist attack happens like 9/11. You had to get back up on that plane. You had to keep flying, even though everybody was terrified. You had to do it because if not, they completely win the war. And that's the point I think Savannah's making. And then I think the second thing is, and I don't know, but I'm sure her mother wouldn't want that. We had this conversation actually the other day at dinner. It was regarding Erica Kirk, because my oldest son, who's, you know, he's in his 20s. And so he's very much, you know, into different things going on. And he says, you know, Erica Kirk went back to work too early. She didn't really mourn him. She should have mourned him longer. And then he said, you wouldn't do that to daddy, would you? You wouldn't be out working and doing everything. Well, first of all, until you're in those steps, those shoes, you never know what you're going to do. I've had horrible losses. I've lost my mother. I've lost my father. And then I lost my sister. And those were very tough. And two were very recent. But having said that, and it took a while, especially with my mom, a long while to get back on the horse. And it literally took, I've shared this with you all, it took a prayer and a response. That I will always, nobody's ever going to say, oh, that didn't happen. That's BS. Laying in bed, I've described all this. And my mom at the end of the bed in her white nightie, you know, I laid by her side for 2+ months as she was in hospice before she passed with my baby, because my baby was only a week old when she went into hospice. And she just said, I'm home. And I remember hitting my husband up like, wake up. And you know, of course, my point is that once you have that peace that person is okay and you realize you just miss them, right? That's the hard part. You miss them. But if they're believers and you know where they went, right? So my point is with all of this is that for this family to suffer all of this, I truly, truly believe these perpetrators want to have it be a perennial torture of them. And what better way to do that than to get on social media, help lead the effort. Nothing here, nothing happened. It's all a conspiracy. Pima County's in on it. Tommaso's in on it. Savannah's in on it. Annie's in on it. They are all in on it. It's all just a farce, right? It's all just a farce. What perfect way for whoever did this. What perfect, perfect, perfect way. Perfect way to have everybody looking the other way. Newsweek just did a story on this, and I contributed to it. You know, what does it mean having people still blaming the family? What does it mean for the investigation? And I explained to them how horrible that is, not only for the family, but for investigators, because guess what? They're having to deal with Annie and Tommaso calling up with death threats that have to be followed up on, people in their neighborhood that are stalking them, people when you're driving down the road and you're going 80 miles an hour to erase a YouTuber, you know, that they have to follow up on. All of that with all these family members, I cannot imagine the hate mail that Savannah is getting. She would have already gotten hate mail. First of all, anybody who is in the public eye gets hate mail. Just watch my Twitter for one day and you will see the haters pouring in. It's crazy. And I'm a nobody. Savannah Guthrie has millions and millions and millions of followers that watch that show every single morning. They still remain at the top of the ratings, especially since she's come back. So her hate mail now, I bet, is quadrupled because of all the people that still think she's involved, who think Annie is involved. And that's why they did this piece, right? Because we all see it. It's you don't have to look far. I had somebody say, oh, Jen, I haven't seen anything negative. I'm like, well, just take a look. You're not going to have to look far. Look at just the YouTube channels that all they do is talk about how this stuff. I got to be careful.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. And when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
I'm going to just stop right there. Just look. Mainstream media now watch mainstream media. I was happy to see News Nation feature Elizabeth Smart's father, where he got on, remember, because he was blamed. Some people still, she was kept for 9 months, Elizabeth, tortured, you know, abducted. And some people will still say, if you look online, oh, that the family still had something to do with it. Even though all the information is out, she's a bodybuilder now. It's just so amazing. Confirmation bias, people cannot let go of it. I've had several of these up. Hi, Jen, greetings from Tucson. If the Pima County supervisors do their due diligence, Sheriff Nennels will be relieved. Love your channel. Thank you, Arizona gal. I agree with you. And I hope you watch that show. I think I remember you being on that show, actually, Arizona gal, because yes, I did a whole show on they are the only ones with the power to remove him. And they are wanting to remove him from what I can see. At least one of them came out on News Nation and really, really wanting to remove him. Karen, thank you so much. So kind of you. I think two more up here that I just wanted to make sure if there was a question attached. Now that I have my eyeballs on. Oh, sorry. I was able finally to listen to what you're talking about. And I was like, it sounds funny in the background. It didn't really annoy me, but I'd finally heard, I guess I went on and was watching to look at comments and it was playing in the background. I finally heard what you guys are talking about when I touched that. All right. Thank you. K Hunk. What a good name. K Hunk. Yes. FBI strong. Look, the FBI is going to solve it. It's going to take a long time. But in the meantime, I am watching what now I believe absolute social media and now even mainstream media manipulation as to what is happening. And do I think the beast that took her could be responsible and anybody else that might be involved in this? 100%. Because now you have the plan fully played out. You have the abduction, the likely death. I'm saying likely because, you know, we have to hold out that there could be some miracle that she's alive. I think 99.9% chance she's not. And in fact, Savannah Guthrie has said that. And she said that God, you know, in prayer with her said, you know, she's gone. And I think that helped her move on. But nevertheless, what I'm saying here is that she's 99.9% gone. So I'm going to talk about her in this as if she's gone. So we have an abduction. We have a death. We have a ransom that was hoped for to take money from the Guthries that wasn't able to play out because they got rid of that body right away. They were not going to keep a body around to get caught with because they're too smart. They didn't keep her alive long enough to do their ransom demand for proof of life. So they broadcasted it the next day by reaching out to the local, to the media, to control the narrative. And what was that narrative going to be? That narrative was puppeteering the Guthries, begging, crying, reading notes from BAU to release their mom, to do the right thing. Which, by the way, they just loved. Number two, Cameron comes out. Where's my picture of Cameron? Everybody forgets Cameron, but I'm doing a show on Cameron. Oh, gosh. Let me just get him up. Cameron, who I'm really looking forward to doing a show on him, because there's a lot to talk about with Cameron that's really interesting. And we're going to talk about it. I've got a whole show that I'm going to be doing on Cameron and, by the way, on Savannah's husband too. It's just so much to put together. But anyway, so Cameron is here. What better way? You don't get the money. You're irritated. So what's your next move? Go to the media. Let them just read about it and have to suffer with knowing that we're telling you what we're going to do to your mom. Then third, puppeteering 5 different appearances, right? Just basking in all of that narrative that you're getting to watch. Again, I still don't know that those other, I think 6 ransom demands that came just a little bit after these, not ransom demands, I guess they are demands, but more extortive in nature, that, hey, I know who did it. They used the exact same MO. They used Bitcoin. Could it have been a copycat? Absolutely. Just another depraved, sick individual that wants the family to suffer, that sends their last 2 notes the first day Savannah Guthrie returns to the studios. I mean, it's possible they're connected. They're saying they're not. I'm not convinced they're not. I'm really not. Same MO, Bitcoin, and the absolute sheer treachery that they continue to put on the family in those notes. Yes, it's a different Bitcoin account than the other 2. And there's plenty of sickos out there that just want the family to suffer. But nevertheless, what a perfect thing to follow up with then at that point, after you've done your ransom notes, damn, you didn't get your money. But you know what I'm going to do next? I'm going to absolutely destroy the Guthrie family in the media. I'm going to destroy them, and I'm going to spin it, and I'm going to open up 2 dozen, however many accounts, because you know what? I'm so savvy, the FBI can't even find 6 emails I sent, and maybe more. The FBI, because remember, now we're talking about 2 possibly different people, if you believe that. If you believe that the other set of ransom notes, the ones that just say, I know what happened, I saw her alive in Sonora, which, by the way, was the same place her father died of a heart attack years ago when she was a young girl. You know, throw that out there. I saw her in Sonora, knowing that you're picking a scab open. That's what I believe. You could have said anything else. I saw her in the, you know, in the desert by the house. I saw her in Matamoros, wherever, alive. But no, you picked the same desert or the same area, the same state in Mexico that the father died. I just don't think that's by accident. Whoever's behind this whole thing, whether you believe the second set of notes matches up with the first, it's maniacal. It's maniacal. And for us to not think that this could be connected, all this social media engineering, what's happening with these guys being smart enough to evade the full strength and power of the federal government's FBI. And for me, being an insider for 25 years and knowing what that looks like, it's pretty dang impressive. I mean, the only thing he did wrong was he got caught on camera. But whoever's around him, and if Mac is right, Cheryl McCollum, that he's solo on this deal. That's what she says. She's convinced he's solo on this deal from beginning to end. And again, I would subscribe to that for so many reasons, because he's the only one we ever see on camera. Even on the 11th, he's the only one there. And we're just so lucky that it's just him. Or is it somebody dressed like him? We don't know. But if it's Porch Guy, I mean, that's all we've seen so far. Definitely, he's the only one that left out the front door with her. You know, if it was an entourage, you would have seen those, you know, the vines that he used that I think were to grip. Those would be spread all over as people traipsed through them. They would have been pounded into the ground. The blood would have been smeared. Now, I know I've gone all over this before, so I don't want to rehash what I've already said, but you know, I would subscribe to what Cheryl McCollum thinks, that this is a lone wolf, hateful, angry actor that's done all of this, except for that walkie-talkie I think is sticking out of his pocket. That's the only thing, even though it's unusual for a crime like this to not have an accomplice. But that sure would answer for why nobody's come forward, everyone. That would answer for that, because there's nobody to tell on him. Thank you so much, LJ Forever 808. I appreciate it, and I love the dog. This, to me, is a continued possible psychological warfare and on the family, and really wanting, look at this. This is just, these are ones that I pulled up within 5 minutes the other day. And I just looked only on X. They're everywhere. There are, on one show I saw, did I see it was a million total views? I might have, over all their videos, that their only video escapade is to show that it's the Guthries. That's their only purpose of their YouTube channel. They're a teeny channel. They started out teeny and now hundreds of thousands of views that strictly do these videos on how it's all a family. And it's picking up traction. I mean, when you have people on my X page that are 100% convinced, when you have people on my X YouTube that I consider all of you guys, I don't consider any of, I don't consider any of you quote unquote conspiracy theorists. I think you look way beyond that and you try to dig deep. But I do think it is really, really important to consider. I'm not trying to have a closed mind. I really am not. If the law enforcement hadn't have come out and said, the family is flipping clear, put it in writing, and knowing what I know, working with the FBI, working with different departments for 15 years of my 25 years, working side by side, task force type cases, you don't come out in writing and say something about what he talked about with this family being cleared. You don't do that without the FBI supporting them. You just don't. On top of it, I know what you do from behind the scenes. They tore that car apart. They did a deep dive into their media. They would have polygraphed them. They wanted to search their house and they got consent to search. They didn't have any probable cause that they were involved. They cooperated from the beginning. Let me tell you, if you're knee deep into a conspiracy to have your mother kidnapped and likely killed, you're not going to be signing away your life to find what the FBI would be able to find digitally. No. And again, the biggest thing is they've been cleared by law enforcement. Just like what happened in Idaho. There's no difference to it. But yet, watch the churn of what you're seeing. Yes, they do last forever. Watch the churn against the Guthries. You know, who is behind it? Now, most of the people behind it are people making money. We've seen it in other cases. Man, it gets a life of its own, right? We saw it in the Karen Reed case, where you have individuals that will sell their left arm to get bigger. I saw accounts that had 50,000 grow to 500,000 almost overnight because the mob subscribed. And I'm seeing it in this case too. Because right now, for whatever reason, and I equated it to the other day, and oh man, did it piss some people off, which I still don't even understand why. It is the same train running downhill. And again, this isn't political. Crime really isn't political. Shouldn't be. Crime should be bipartisan. No one should want crime. Nobody should want their 84-year-old mother taken. Nobody should want their husband assassinated. No one should want that. I think we're all in agreement on that. I never understand how politics gets involved just because certain people are involved. But I made the analysis that the train rolling down the hill against the Guthrie family that started at the beginning and has continued to just grow and grow and grow, no matter how exonerated they are, it parallels the track of Erica Kirk, you know, Candace Owens starting that conspiracy and it latching on, and somehow the widow, she can't do anything wrong or right. There's nothing. If she sat at home, everybody would say, oh my gosh, you're not out carrying on what your husband, you've let your husband, everything he did for that company, you're letting it just go by the wayside. You know, you have Savannah returning and everybody says, I can't believe you're not home mourning. It just is the way it is. They're both going down the hill. Yes, they have both. They're very different in terms of their connection with the death of the individual. But remember, Candace Owen is saying, and I was just reading this today because I was trying to figure out whether she's really saying it or not. She's definitely intimating that Erica is partially involved in the assassination of her own husband. It's insane. Just like what's happening with the Guthries. It's insane. And that comparison exists when you look at the targets on the back of the Guthries. It's just mind-boggling. It's nothing short of mind-boggling. But there's people who believe it, no matter what is said. And the more people that come out and kind of support it and kind of intimate that it is, you know, the more it exists. Do I think that this guy isn't affiliated with somebody who had an axe to grind? No, you hear me talking. I think this, again, is continuing. And I think it's continuing the push of the narrative to push away from the real culprit in this case. Look at the narrative. The narrative isn't, oh, the poor Guthries. Now, you're not going to see much of that. The narrative you see being pushed by the creators that are certainly all the drama creators, and then even other creators that see this as an opportunity to win, to grow on the backs of this thing. Watch for it. It's there. What digital AI help did this perpetrator have? I'm going to bring it one step further. We saw as an example in the shooting that was in Florida, not the shooting of the two kids. I'm going to talk about that nexus though, in the shooting on campus. That guy literally went to AI to learn how to do it. How should I do this? How should I map this out? What's the best way to get to do a mass shooting? You have the shooter that against the PhD students at the University of South Florida. He and many, many others have asked questions, you know, how best to dispose of a body. His particular question, I'm being general, his particular question was about how long bodies can be in trash cans or trash bags, what happens to them. About surveillance on a bridge where he wanted to dump them or an area near this park, about, you know, dumping at trash dumpsters, right? People now are these perpetrators are using AI to help them be better. I literally wonder if that's why Porch Guy wasn't so successful. Do this, do that. Conduct surveillance. Put your gun in front of your crotch so you don't look like you know what you're doing. double glove. Oh, but dang, I never tried to remove a Nest camera with double gloves. I can't quite grip it very well because they're slipping. Because my glove is five times the size of my hand. Well, not five times, but bigger. Definitely wear a mask. Of course, he screwed up, in my opinion, because I can see his eyebrows. I can clearly see those eyes. I can see that mustache, that little gap, and I can see that one eye that goes in. I've talked about that because I have that issue too in some of my pictures and things. If you look, every once in a while, it's not like major. You'd have to really know me for years. But people tease me all the time. They're like, oh, you know, just a teeny bit. And if you look at this, the close-up of him, that eye, just a little bit in. Somebody who knows him knows that when you combine it all together. The eyebrows, the eyes, manicured. He seems Hispanic. Let me tell you, the FBI, we heard from Dr. Fitzpatrick herself, the innovator, the one that created, the one that did the first case of IgG. That was her, Dr. Fitzpatrick. And she told you that likely they already know the ethnicity of the porch guy. They likely already know it. They know the sex. They know the ethnicity. At least. That's why you can pay $100 and 23andMe in a week can tell you that, because they only check a few markers. That's all they're going to do. They're for $100, they're not doing a deep dive into you. And that's why they are often wrong. Because they just, it's $100 or whatever it is. I've never done it, but I've heard from friends it's $100. Maybe it's gone up. And that's why I always tell them when they say, what they're saying, I'm Eskimo and I'm, you know, white from Sweden. We know our family tree. I would say, look at your family tree. Go through and do that if you can. Do your lineage. Talk to the people who are alive. One of the last things I did with both my dad, but my dad is not my biological dad, but I still wanted to understand his lineage. And I literally sat by him for about 2 days with him. All I did was interview him. You know, he was a military guy. I wanted to know everywhere he had gone. I just wrote everything down. I have this whole book of what he told me in 2 days. And it's so great to have that to look back at, even though I was adopted. So it's not really my lineage. But I did do that with my great grandmother before she passed, who I had only met that one time, was when I first found them. And she's Mascalera Apache on the res. You know, hair down to her knees with these beautiful braids. She looked like something just out of Sitting Bull's mom, you know, like her face size and that hair. And really, that was sad because she was just so ashamed of being American Indian, just such shame because being treated as a second class citizen, really like a dog most of her life. So that was just sheer shame for her is what I got from her. So it was very difficult to draw anything out. But nevertheless, is this an absolute plan? Not a plan, but another way for whoever did this to continue to have the family suffer. Is it? I think it's very possible. Nobody's talking about it. We should be talking about it because it makes all the sense in the world. Somebody hates this family. Somebody targeted her to be abducted and knew she would likely die as an 84-year-old with medical issues, and they didn't care. I've never seen a more lackadaisical perpetrator in my life. Some people want to say that's because he had mental issues or was on drugs. I don't think he was on drugs. I don't think he had a mental issue. I think he knew exactly what he wanted to do. I think he got help from AI. Remember when they talked about the two notes that are related, how well written they were? Of course, this isn't this guy writing it. He used AI. Because whenever you do a ransom note, like what I will forever believe Patsy Ramsey did, there are all these indicators that go back to her. How she first calls him Mr. Ramsey and then John switches over because she just can't help him. 3.5 pages long, mentions the bonus, has very special phrasing that she only Patsy used, the exact same lettering. Got to go back to those initial handwriting samplers. And I will tell you, never in an FBI case ever, even though I was sent it to the lab and they came back, they would always say things like most likely, similar characteristics, can't be excluded. They will never, I promise you, ever an FBI lab person will ever say this is who wrote it. They will just say there's some similar characteristics. These letters are similarly written, but they will never give you that. Who I always put on the stand were relatives. That's who I always put on the stand. Is this your wife's writing? Oh my gosh, yeah, that's her writing. And that's what worked, at least with the juries. Yes, it's an opinion, but it's opinion from somebody who's seen their writing for years. And believe it or not, for me, that's who I put up on the stand always. A very wise FBI agent that I studied under told me never use the handwriting people from the lab. Use it, send it, see what they have to say. But don't ever use them because they will get on the stand and it's like vanilla. Well, this is characteristic. This I can't say whether it is or not. So basically it's inconclusive. It could be or it couldn't be. You know, that's how it is. That's just how they work. But look at the original handwriting, the person who originally did the exemplars before money got involved and people got paid off and everything. Look at it. And that's what they'll say about Patsy Ramsey's. Plus, all you have to do is read that thing. Nobody goes to murder a child, to garrote a child in a secluded area in the basement that literally the initial people who went couldn't even find because it was in such a labyrinth of a house, of a mansion. And then you decide to write a ransom. So what was it? You went to kidnap them first and then they end up garroting them and killing them and sexually assaulting them with Nancy or with Patsy Ramsey's paintbrush? Or, you know, it makes no sense. You don't go to do a kidnapping and write the note there. You have it already written. Anyway, I'm digressing. I've already done several shows and many mile-long tweets on the Ramsey case. So I won't digress. But I'm saying here, you guys, sticks out like a sore thumb. Who's doing this and why? You know, remember when we had on, Robin Dreek, sorry, his name escaped me for a moment. He was a profiler on the counterterrorism side of the house of the FBI, meaning he dealt with how do you get foreign individuals to work for the FBI, the psychology of all that. That's kind of his specialty. And he pointed out something which I just love, and that is when you look at the reason that people do something bad, or in that case, it's really good if you're an FBI agent, it's really bad if you're, a Russian national and you convert them over. But why does somebody do something that could be construed as bad, or just everybody construes it to bad, like committing a murder? They do it because there is gain for them. They do it for them. Every single case, it's because it is advantageous to the person, no matter what the case is, whether it's a jealousy case, a crime of passion, a case like this, they do it because they are going to gain. So what is this abductor gaining? This abductor didn't gain money, but they gained killing Nancy, likely. They gained torturing the family through two notes. those other notes could be connected. I think they had the assistance of AI. So far, they've pulled off the perfect crime. But I want to say this. The FBI knows so much more than we know. It's a mountain versus a molehill. Now, is that information getting them anywhere yet? Not yet. Not that we can see. I'm not losing faith. I gave it the 6-month mark, which is going to be August 16th. Let's see if they solve it by August 16th or not. If they don't, it will be solved at some point. It will be solved. If this guy is a lone actor, I will not understand why he did not have, or why he had a, what I believe is a HT in his pocket. I won't understand that if he's a lone actor. But if he is a lone actor and was using that to monitor police, or which I put nothing past this guy. I really don't. When it comes to sophistication, I don't put anything past him. I think he's very capable. And to think this guy who's capable of eluding the FBI after sending 6 emails, being caught on camera, not leaving behind usable DNA, at least so far, being able to take off in a magic rocket ship that got him in and out of there. I assure you, he didn't throw Nancy over his shoulder and walk in the desert that night. No. There is a vehicle. And it just magically came there and magically left without detection that the FBI can at least discern after 90 days. 100 FBI agents at one point on this case. Still 24 FBI agents and officers working it. And a lot more when a big lead comes up, I assure you. And that's not even to mention the hundreds of analysts behind the scenes that are doing things like evaluating that video evidence. So guys and gals, do I think that they are involved in online manipulation of the narrative? You bet I do. He'd be stupid not to. And every time I read one of those posts that says, this is a farce, it's all made up, the family did this, Pima County Sheriff's, but listen, the Pima County Sheriff, he's got a lot of issues. We spent a whole session on what he's facing. But there is no credible information that he has anything to do with Nancy's abduction. Watching the World 777. Thank you so much. Oh, and thank you. I think you're a member. Thank you so much. For sure you're subscribed, so I thank you for that. And for the donation today. Let me just get up here and put this one on screen. Aw. Hi, April Schwartz. Absolutely. And I love the yellow. I'm still wearing my yellow too. And then I put a yellow pillow back there for the few days that I won't have yellow on for whatever reason, typically because I had a show before. All right, everyone. I hopefully, for those of you who didn't get to watch the whole live, hopefully you get to come back because it's a building block live with two streams, right? Two streams of thought. One stream is what does torture look like for the Guthrie family, and what has this perpetrator done to perpetrate that? The abduction, what I believe to be the death, followed by the notes, followed by, I believe, social media engineering to keep a particular, you know, horrible stream of going after the family. Number two, what are these perpetrators, or is this perpetrator Porch Guy capable of? Well, We discussed everything he's capable of so far and everything he was able to get away with so far. And it's pretty impressive. So in other words, he definitely, I believe, has the capability of being online and being different people online and leading the whole social media. And now I just saw it getting into mainstream media, and not in a positive way, in a negative way. When I say negative, in a way against the family, even though they've been cleared. So, all right, everyone. Thank you. For those who are $3.99 members or more, we have a cool little FBI gift basket that'll be coming to you at your house on August 16th, or if this case is solved before then. Don't give up on the FBI. Don't give up on law enforcement. I'm certainly not. I think they'll find out what happened to Nancy. I don't know if they'll ever get Nancy back. I always answer that question, no. But I think they'll find out what happened. I think it's going to take a while. All right, everyone. Till next time. May justice be served. Thank you, mods, for the incredible work you all always do. Thank you. And thanks for everybody taking time out of your day today. May justice be served for the Guthrie family and for all who are missing.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.